joy of the gospel is compelling people to see Jesus Christ as he is right now. Well, we're in Romans chapter 1 this morning. We'll dismiss all of our young people ages 10 and under for the time and the word of God they have downstairs this morning. And parents, you can pick them up downstairs afterwards. That'll be a great time of learning for them this morning. Thankful for all those who are helping with our young people. We've had a good number of help with the young people downstairs, and thankful for that. We're in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 24 through verse number 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32 are some of the bleakest words in Scripture regarding mankind and his position, his condition. And I know that sometimes we like to move quickly past things that sound awful, that look bad. We like to sometimes ignore shameful things. But the Word of God records for us the condition of mankind after rejecting who God is, and what God allows mankind to go into in indulging himself further and further in sin is what we read in these passages. And they are not pretty. They are not beautiful things. They are shameful things. They are despicable things. And they are things that are the result of a pushing away of God. Look with me in Romans 1, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Father, I pray that you will help us as we look in this passage and continue to see its connection to the gospel. God, I thank you for the gospel that saves men from such a wicked condition, such a condition that only will lead to heartache and pain and suffering in this life and future destruction in the next. And God, I thank you that you've provided a way for men and women and children around the world to be delivered from the chains of their own lives, the chains of their own desires, and to be freed because of Jesus Christ. I pray that men and women and children would be turned to Christ today. And we'll praise you for what you'll do as we hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this morning's message, Living with Abandon. And that's an expression that you've maybe heard people use before. Just live with abandon. And often it's seen as kind of a positive thing by some. Just go and do something and don't worry about the consequences. Now, as a Christian, there are things that I need to do knowing that there are going to be consequences I may not like. Perhaps shouting the gospel may come with consequences that people might not like. But I know what they are ahead of doing it. Living with abandon really has the idea of someone who says, be wild, be dangerous, don't take caution, throw caution to the wind. Have you ever met those kinds of people? Maybe in your youth, you knew someone who was a little bit like that. They live with abandon. They don't really worry about the consequences. They just live for the what? The right now. Because this will be fun, they might say. Or let's try this and see what happens. Those are the people to be careful around. If they say, hey, let's see what happens, and they're using large equipment or they're using fast cars, Bad things happen when people don't think about the consequences of actions. But as we observe humanity, do you realize that there is an action that mankind is like that? They are living with no regard for the consequences of their actions. It's often used, that expression, living with abandon, to express, you mean that someone behaves in a wild or uncontrolled way and do not think or care about how they should behave. That would rightly define what this passage is describing. People who do not seem to care at all what's going to come. Who go down a route, as a sign on a road might say, wrong way, and decide, I'm going to go this way and keep going. And by the way, after you go on a road, have you ever noticed that sometimes on an interstate, if you look back, they have wrong way signs for a couple of, you know, a quarter of a mile. But after a while, do they keep putting those up? No. There's no more warnings after a certain point, and they are heading headlong into danger, are they not? You head on a wrong way, you're going to find it is not safe. And that is exactly what the Word of God is telling us about here. That God is not rejecting mankind because God hates mankind. We've been looking in Romans and observing that God has wrath against mankind, but it's not because mankind is innocent and just a sweet thing that God wants to hurt. No, it's because mankind has rejected God. That mankind has been in ungodliness, a desire to have no interest or reverence for God. And in that ungodliness, he has turned to unrighteousness. He does things that are against God. He sins. And the gospel is God's answer to the wrath that must be shown to sin and ungodliness. The gospel is the answer to that. Many times people call the gospel the good news. And I know I've heard this since I was a youth. You've heard it no doubt as well. You can't give the good news until you hear the... Well, that was really weak. You can't hear the good news until you know the... Yeah, we really don't like to talk about bad news. Well, there's been a lot of bad news. If you've been on the internet this week or looking at what's going on around the world, ooh, that doesn't look good. Ooh, that doesn't look good. But I will tell you something. Bad news is an indicator of something that can change. Bad news is the symptom. It's the, wow, you need to deal with this. You can't ignore this. Let's take a look at it. And the mankind, humanity around us, needs to have someone say, can you see what God is trying to show you? The passage that we read is God allowing, giving over mankind to what he wants. And in effect, when man rejects God, God is rejecting men. When man abandons God, God abandons men to what they desire so that they might experience the futility of that practice. Do you know that it is not judgment that is future that is spoken of here? It is judgment that is going on right now in the world. God's judgment against mankind is allowing him to do what he does. That is a reproving of the world. And in fact, the gospel connects with that righteousness of God, which is allowing men to do what they want to do right now, to show them their wicked condition. This is a condition that needs to be observed. Our scripture reading this morning in Daniel of the story of Nebuchadnezzar is an excellent example of one who abandoned the knowledge of God. Did you observe that? And interestingly, if you read chapter 3 in Daniel, did Nebuchadnezzar observe God's power in the three Hebrew children, remember? And forth like the who? Son of God, yeah. In that fire and delivered from it, and nothing burned on their bodies. And does he rejoice in or give any credit to the God of heaven in that passage? He does. But short-lived. And very quickly turns to exalting himself once again. And God humbles him. God brings him down. God judges that. God allows his own arrogancy to produce what it does, which is destructiveness. And that is what we read in this passage. The arrogancy of mankind produces and results in a very insane kind of behavior. A very insane kind of behavior. And I want you to know, Romans 1, we've seen the charges against humanity, the guilt that necessitated God's wrath. But he is directing that wrath towards the disobedience and rebellion of mankind so that they might see where they are, so they might see their condition. Now, often we speak of God's judgment of sin as being something future only. And I think there is an appropriateness for us to speak of the future judgment of the world and of sinners in an eternal place called hell. Eventually, and the Bible very clearly teaches, there is a real place called hell. Many people like to diminish that there is anything like that. But in speaking often of just that future punishment of those who reject God, they often, I think we often don't do enough to articulate what mankind is doing right now is the judgment of God. Do you recognize that? What is going on in the world right now? What these verses describe is really the judging of God. Because God is allowing them to go off into their own actions. In a courtroom, after the guilt has been established, after the charges have been made and the back and forth has gone on, and we've seen that in the previous verses of that courtroom scene, as it were, and all of the things that are brought up, now you have the sentencing. And is the sentencing a happy thing for the courtroom if the person is guilty? The sentencing is the part where the execution of what has taken place now is going to be played out. And the sentencing is important to see here. And in this passage, you have really, I see three things that we could observe. And we're only going to look at the first one today, of the sentencing that follows this godless behavior. And as mankind is destroying himself, and it results in supreme unhappiness. You look around, and people are not happy in getting what they want, are they? As they continue on in their pattern of sin, it is not bringing them happiness. It is not bringing them joy. It really is an insanity. It really is. It is a sad world that we live in. And God's word points out here, Paul describes three things. And in verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28, notice with me the expression that's used in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. In verse number 26, the expression for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, in each of those expressions, God giving them up, it is a word, paradidomai, that means, and sometimes it's translated, to deliver up to custody, or to be judged, or to condemn, or to punish, or to scourge, to be tormented. In this context, I think it's very similar to the concept of sentencing someone. What is going to happen is being expressed here. God is giving his sentence here. And three things, I think, in this I want us to observe. Number one is that God sentenced them with what they wanted. Now think of that for a minute, because that doesn't sound like what we normally think of as sentencing, does it? God sentences them to what they want. Parents, have your kids ever asked for something and you knew it would not be good for them, but you allowed them to have what they wanted to have to teach them something? You know, like getting them a pet. Now that sounds really like a small thing, and it is. But kids think of a pet as just all fun, right? Is there responsibility that comes with a pet? Oh yes, and so we give them a pet, and what comes along with it is now responsibility that they may not have wanted or seen, but it's actually good for them. That is a very light idea of this. But there is there not, a sentencing of giving someone what they want that only hurts them, destroys them further in themselves, so that they see themselves as what they are. You know that God is demonstrating a sentencing towards mankind in giving mankind what he wants. In verse 24, it articulates that, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. We'll look at that one in particular this morning, the sentencing of, or the getting of what they wanted, what mankind wanted. Two other ones, verse 26 and 27, we see that God sentenced them to what is shameful. And we'll look at that more next week. And I say shameful, even though they are oblivious to its shame. And I think that you and I have to not miss this.
Our culture is oblivious to the shame in which they are involved. And we have to be careful when we communicate with those who are in such shameful positions that we realize that blindness. That we not come at them with an anger or hatred or some kind of vendetta to change people in what we want them to be, but that they would recognize what God says about them. That they would recognize that they are living in a sentencing of a destructive behavior that is against God, that is in a lie. It is in opposition to God. That is hard for us to do sometimes. But my friend, it's important for you to realize that is where you would be without Jesus Christ. You would be living in shame and shameful practice, oblivious to it. In fact, that's what you were before you got saved. You might not remember that, but that's where you were. That's what man, apart from God, is. He is involved in shameful practice. And the extreme is given in our passage here. And a third thing in this passage, not only are they sentenced to what they wanted and sentenced to what is shameful, but God sentenced them with what brings death. Ultimately, and the list is long in the latter portion, verses 28 through 32, of all kinds of things. But what do they all lead to? When you read verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of... It all ends in the same thing. You may say, well, I'm not doing that sin. I'm not doing that shameful thing. Friend, all of it ends in the same thing. All of it does. And the important thing is to realize all of humanity is in desperate trouble. See, that's encouraging, Pastor. I came to church this morning to hear how bad we are and how bad the culture is and how bad the world is. But you've got to know what God says about it if you're going to help anyone. You really must. And I want you to go to this first thing in verse 24 and see that abandoning God has something that can be expected. Abandoning God has a sentencing. And number one, and we'll look at this morning in particular, God sentenced them to what they wanted in verse 24 and verse 25. God will give you what you want, but it will hurt you. God will give you what you want, but it will hurt you. They were given over to self-worship, to the exaltation of themselves, the impurity of man's thoughts. When God's plan is rejected, man's replacement is an unclean and shameful plan. And it even says in verse number 24, to dishonor their own bodies. And we'll look at that in a moment. Have you ever heard the expression before? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. It really is true. Sin, in every respect, is a trick to people. They believe that it will not cost them as much. If I get what I want, I will be happy. And it only brings about further destruction, further sadness. Now, that's important for the Christian to remember as well as the lost person. It's important for the lost person to realize that getting what they want and rejecting God in their life is not going to bring about happiness. But you know that's true of a Christian too? If it was true for a person without God, is it not really important for us as believers to remember that sin was paid for on the cross when Christ died for me? It had an expensive cost, and that cost was paid for on Jesus Christ's blood on the cross. And how foolish for me to think lightly of sin. How foolish for me or you to think lightly of sin. And yet, don't we buy into that casual attitude that the world portrays about it? It's not going to cost me that much. It's really not that big of a deal. And it really is. And sin is so deceptive, isn't it? It's not that big or it's not that bad. It will cost you more than you want to pay. In verse 24, it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Moral perversion is the idea there. Living with impure motives. I recently read someone claim, and they were someone who says they claim to believe the Bible, but they claimed that you can't look at the immorality that's talked about here and call that the same as what's going on in our culture today between same-sex marriage. And I thought, what? Now, this sounds interesting. What do they mean? And here's what they were trying to do. They were trying to distinguish loving, meaningful relationships and the gross, immoral, godless, idol-worshipping prostitution of the culture of Paul's day. And they were trying to distinguish these two. Loving, meaningful relationships
and immorality that is just so obviously disgusting in their culture of that day. Don't buy into a lie of appropriating culture of that day and our day as different in some respect. If God's word decries something, it is timeless in its declaration. And I mean this because, well, aren't we for people having meaningful, loving relationships? Yes. Define love. Define love. Because in that, you'll come to a very, very clear direction about how people view their own wickedness in this day. People will try to present the loving, meaningful relationship and not point out that in it is lust that is in their own heart. I've met many a person who says, well, we just love each other. And they're not married, but they desire to live together. And even knowing full well that that's against what the Word of God would teach, but they'll say, but we just love each other. Love is doing right by the other person.
Yes, sir.
Love is not my lustful desires being fulfilled. Love is not whatever I feel good with, that's what's best. That is the lie of the world. That is the lie of one who is falling headlong into the effects of sin. And I got to tell you, you will find that that is pervasive in all kinds of areas of your life, Christian. You'll hear people say, well, what do you feel? How do you want to do this? What do you think is best? And isn't that a very compelling argument sometimes? Well, I think it'll be fun. Well, I think it'll be best. Well, I don't think it's that bad. That whenever you hear the phrase, not that bad, ask yourself, in whose opinion? It doesn't matter what my opinion is or anyone else in this church. That's not the opinion that matters. What is God's opinion? Because if it's against God's opinion at all, it's a bad idea. It isn't something to say, well, it's not that bad. No, don't get caught up in the wrong idea about what God has clearly said. Let me be very clear. False representations of truth. In their day, in the time of Paul, and there were false representations. This is the norm. This is what everybody does. So it's okay. Or false representations in our day. The key is, whatever part is motivated out of selfish, lustful desires cannot be called love. It cannot be called love. Love always seeks what is selfless and doing right by the other person. You cannot love someone and live in immorality at the same time. And when this verse says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, I think that is the large vector of all kinds of immorality. It's not just speaking of the immorality that will be further described here regarding homosexuality. It's in the main. And by the way, is not that in the main in our culture today? Free sex, live it up, live with anyone, shack up with them. You don't need to be married. There's nothing special or honored in marriage. It's just whatever you want to do. And by the way, are not the television shows, even from 30 years ago, filled with such things? And I know you say, no, you're hitting on my favorite things. I got to tell you, if you love the shows that describe this kind of behavior as normal, you are loving what God is talking about as being destruction. And really, I'm not better than you by telling you that, but I'm not your friend. I'm not your friend. If you go on indulging in that kind of conversation, that kind of entertainment, and not expecting that it affects your relationship with God, it absolutely does. And it's pervasive. It is pervasive, and it is subtle. It's on everything you see on social media. It's on everything that you interact with other people. And you have to be aware of its influence on you, Christian, because it doesn't belong to you anymore. That's not you. That's not your identity. Christians ought not be people in identity crisis. I've been saved from this kind of thinking. And Christian, can I tell you, there are people all around you who are caught up in that. And to them, there is nothing wrong with this whatsoever. And that would be what would make sense, isn't it? Because they have rejected God, and what has God given them over to? What they want. Now, what do you want? That's a trick question, Pastor. No. No, it's not. What do you want? Does this describe you before you came to faith in Christ, or does it describe you right now? Wouldn't that be a fair question? Because there are the great possibility that many are watching online or in here who have thought to themselves, well, I trusted Christ as my Savior back when I was however old. Okay, does this represent your desires, or did it represent what you were before? And where should that be if you are a child of God? Not to prove your salvation to me or to anyone else, but this is the group of people who are rejecting God. How does that even make sense to someone who has said, I need a Savior, and I'm going to put my trust in Him, not what I can do, and I'm going to believe on Him and let Him be the one who directs my life? How can that then be the person that says, well, you know, I want to do what I want to do? Now, Paul talks about this later in the book of Romans, because it is a challenge for Christians. Christians do sometimes think like they shouldn't. Did you know that? But what do you like? What is it you desire after? Notice that this kind of immorality affects things. And I would ask you, who defines marriage? Who defines morality? Doesn't our culture want to redefine all of those things? All the time. You know, I would tell you, as you go further in this and recognize people that are living in gross immorality, and I say gross because it's more against what God has designed than what even this is. God ordained marriage for one man and one woman. And yet there is a continual pushing away from that. And now there is a desire for there to be something with one man and one man, or one woman and one woman, or in many cases, multiple. And friend, all of this is perversion. All of it is perversion. So what do we think of this? How am I to recognize this? You know, I would tell you, as you interact with people who think such things, have a great amount of love and care for what they are lost and confused in. Is that hard to do? Isn't it easy for us just to act in hateful ways towards people that don't think right? I'm not getting a lot of amens here. Have you found it easy to put up with people who think things that are incorrect? Is that like, oh yeah, that's no problem. I have no problem at all helping communicate with someone who thinks wrong in the right way. I will tell you, the answer to this is not to soften it. That's not what we're doing here at all. What we are recognizing is how pitiful the position is. Do you realize that? The pitiful position of rejection of God leads to a result that is man getting what he wants. And it is awful. And it hurts him. And it hurts other people. And it, friend, is in a multiplying spread. And it spreads fast from one generation to the next. And it multiplies the perversion. And we ought to have a great amount of compassion for those folks in that state. Why? Because that's exactly what the gospel is too. It's two people in that position. It's two people who need to recognize that they are dishonoring themselves. That word dishonor is to insult or treat with contempt. And it's interesting, it says in verse 24, that they gave up themselves, or gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. Do you know who they're treating with contempt? Do you know who they are insulting? Themselves. How sad is that? They are damaging and hurting themselves. And friend, I believe that if we're going to be effective with the gospel, we have to have a great amount of passion and pity for people that are hurting themselves. Do you pity people that are hurting themselves? You ever seen someone that's doing harm to themselves and felt compassion? That Christ would come to this world and give himself a ransom for all. Can there not be a great recognition that he saw us in our depravity and in our wickedness and yet obeyed the Father's will and came and obeyed and went to the cross and died? What incredible love. Does that love just for good people that are not as bad as you might think the worst is? No, that's for everyone. He died so that anyone could be saved.
even the people like this who are getting whatever it is that they want.
He died for them. You know, when you damage yourself, or when you are involved in getting what you want, you damage yourself when you abandon God. Verse 24 says, to dishonor their own bodies. One of the troubling results of moral perversion is the never fulfilled desires it leads to. This desire is not met, so there's a desire for something worse, something further. And verses 26 and 27 are going to be going to the next degree. Because when mankind is not happy with one kind of perversion, he will seek happiness in another kind of perversion. And you might right now, and I think this is important to state, Christian, you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ have been delivered from the power of sin. But can I remind you that the power of sin in this world, you still battle with in your flesh? And it's good for you to recognize that a Christian battles when he has desires that he yields to instead of to God, he yields to one desire. Do you know what he'll have another? A deeper and worse desire. Your flesh doesn't ever get better. Ever. Can I say that again? You never reform the flesh. The flesh never gets better. The flesh is rotten to its core. Do you recognize that? Your desires continue to lead further to destruction. They lead further to death. In fact, the Christian who disobeys and rejects truth as God gives it to them, as others lovingly come to them, what will God give them over to? He will give them over to death. You say, that sounds really harsh, Pastor. No, it's what the Bible teaches. And it's very important for us to see the damaging effects that lead from one thing to the next thing to the next thing in sin. You damage yourself when you abandon God. And one, using their body for gratification in a way that is against the plans of the Creator is what this is talking about. There are people constantly who look for more and more joy and excitement in things that were never what God intended. And you say, this sounds kind of awkward, Pastor. It is. And it is very disgusting because of the culture that we live in. That really, to young people, it is promoted to them. I go to the library over here in Franklin and I look on the shelves and there's stuff that I'm like, you know what, I'm going to turn that book over. They put it out with the book open so that the kids can see things. You parents need to be careful when you go to the library. Definitely don't let your kids have access to the internet unhindered without check. Why? Because filth is everywhere. And it's like, we want you to see something so that you'll get curious about something God doesn't want you to get curious about and get deeper into. You need to be careful adults. Satan is constantly working to get our attention away from truth and perverted further and further. And sin damages you when you abandon God. Another truth of this is that you become a slave to sensual desires. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. You know that God made us to serve? He did. A lot of us want independence and freedom and I want to do whatever I want to do. You know that God intended for you to follow. God intended for a man to lead his home, yes, but God intended for that man to follow God. And you know what there is when a man does not follow or put himself under God? You know what he will follow after? Whatever he comes up with on his own. He will come up with all kinds of ideas for himself to follow after. And they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. You know, that is a picture of what we see in Satan. If you look over in Isaiah 14 and verse 13, Isaiah 14 verse 13 speaks of Satan's view of things. And I think it'd be helpful for you to maybe mark this down in your notes or go over to it with me. Isaiah 14 and verse 13, you have a record of what he says of himself, and I think it's the same lie that men are telling themselves all the time. In Isaiah 14 and verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You know that there is a attitude in the lies of ourselves that says, I can be God. I can
worship. I can give reverence to and honor to whatever I want. You know, that is a destructive and horribly painful exercise when people live to worship and do whatever they want to do. And the very first thing that is a sentence of God we read in this passage is God letting them do whatever they want to do.
And they become a slave to their sensual desires. When you make yourself God, you become indulgent. You live with no restraints, and that only hurts you. God, the Creator, is not correctly worshipped by mankind in that condition. And I want you to note as we conclude this morning, if you looked at all this and felt like this is really dark and horrible, it is. But notice how Paul concludes verse 25. Because in the midst of this, Paul rightly takes time to give God the praise and honor that's due him. Do you recognize it in verse 25? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, if we're not careful, we can be very, and we ought be of sin. We ought be of all that's going on in this world. And in the midst of this, speaking to Christians about the condition of mankind, Paul takes time to rightly give God his place of honor. I think that's good for us to do this morning as well. Because otherwise you'll come out of here feeling like, what's going on? Friend, God is going to be lifted up. When mankind is given over to their own desires because they've rejected God, God is lifted up by that. Do you realize that? The wickedness that is destroying each other in this world is not because God hates this world. That is a distortion. That is not the truth. What is being taking place is because God is righteous. That is going to be the result. And God is lifted up by the righteousness being contrasted with unrighteousness. You know, that has to be the way you and I view things. That God is exalted, and I praise Him even when everyone else is not. And I think it's appropriate for us to do that. Look over at Psalm 72. And I think it's important for us to take a moment as we conclude this morning to praise God for His right position and the position that will be given to Him. The song that Morgan sang this morning, I think, was so appropriate. There is coming a day when people will declare that He is the Lord, that they do see and recognize who He is. In Psalm 72 and verse 17, Psalm 72 in your Bibles, in verse number 17, Psalm 72, verse 17 says, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Is that your attitude? I want Him to be praised. You say, how does that relate to speaking of evil? Friend, Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for sin so that what man has given themselves to, they could be rescued from. Aren't you thankful that that is a truth? That people can be saved from what they have wanted to go into? They can be delivered from that? They absolutely can be. You can be. You may be here this morning, and really, this whole conversation has been awkward. It has not been fun because it sounds like you're saying, Pastor, I'm bad. Well, we all are, okay? Take comfort. That's where we all start. We all start off in a place of rejecting God. You say, well, I didn't say that ever. I didn't say, God, I reject you. But friend, that's what we start off as because we are in ourselves, in our heart, wicked sinners. You have a sin nature. You were born with it. You didn't have to be taught how to sin. You just sin. And the longer you go not recognizing I am in this condition, and the Holy Spirit of God wants to say, this is the problem. You're facing the judgment of God. This is the wrath of God against sin. That's why God gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross, was to pay for the sin that would cause me destruction in this life and in the next. And Jesus Christ gives salvation to anyone who will turn from their condition and turn to Jesus Christ. And if the Holy Spirit of God is saying, that's true, you need Jesus Christ. That is true. You've never said, I'm a sinner and I need Christ. You know, you will never be saved and have eternal life if you do not admit first, I'm a sinner and I need help. Good people don't get to heaven. Sinners do. Sinners who turn to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from what this would do to you in this life and in the next. And friend, you can be saved today. That is the good news. I am thrilled to tell you today, Jesus Christ came to pay for your sin. To pay for all the shame, for all of the things that you thought would bring you happiness that won't. And if you have not yet turned to Jesus Christ, I would compel you, urge you, and with the Holy Spirit's authority, I believe that He is telling you right here, right now, that's the need. Why else would you be here today or watching right now except to hear that truth and make some decision about it? And you may never have ever made a decision about that. You've never said, yep, that's me. I need help. Why not do that today? You know, in a moment, we'll have something we call an invitation. If you're watching online, you don't have to be here to get saved. You don't have to move in this auditorium to be saved. But in a moment, I'm going to encourage you, if this morning that's the decision that you recognize you need to make and you've never made that before, you need to admit I'm a sinner and call out for salvation. Call out. You can do that right where you sit, and I'm going to challenge you to do so. Admit, God, I see myself. I am a sinner. I am caught up in everything I want and desire, and it does not bring any happiness or joy. I need rescue. I need Jesus Christ. I cannot save myself. You tell God that right where you sit. And I will tell you this morning, God says, if you call on Him for salvation from your sin, He will save you. He will. I'd encourage you this morning, if you've made that decision where you sit, or maybe you've made it in the past, but you've never let anyone else know that, to slip out in a moment and just say, Pastor Finney, that's me. I have put my faith in Christ, and I want to let it be known. We rejoice in that here. You know that is the turning point for every single person in this auditorium that has trusted Christ as their Savior. They went from being in darkness to light. And there was nothing shameful of that at all. There is only joy that comes as a result of that. I would encourage you this morning, if you've not trusted Christ, put your faith in Christ today. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? And let's stand together. In just a moment, we'll have the piano play. And I want you to stand, and with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, let me ask you, have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm not here to make you feel bad. If there is any sense of feeling bad this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's doing that, not this pastor. If you are recognizing this morning that you are a sinner that needs the Savior, can I encourage you right there where you sit to say, Dear God, I see I'm a sinner. Maybe you've never said those words before, but if you realize it this morning, I recognize what I am. And right now, God, best I know how, I'm going to trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died to pay for my sin. And then I'm going to have to trust Him because I can't do anything to save myself. And friend, Jesus died and was buried and rose again to give you eternal life. You can trust Him today and be saved today from sin and know it. Maybe you're here, Christian, and the things we talked about today, the giving them over to their desires, that sentencing of just destroying themselves. Maybe you've started to not observe how sin's effects still are things you need to observe as a Christian. And it's destructive patterns. And it's destructive influences. And there's sin that you are holding on to and saying, it doesn't really matter. It's okay for me to indulge in. It's okay. Can I compel you, Christian, this morning, to perhaps come and take some time to confess that to God this morning? Not to give you salvation, but so that you can be restored in relationship to the one who gave His Son to die on the cross for you. Maybe you've tolerated stuff that just is shameful. Maybe there's a need for you to just take a seat where you are this morning and speak to God about that and get that taken care of.